So when the chancellor made his announcement on May 12 that the CSU will be predominantly online or virtual in the fall, predominantly means the vast majority, and the chancellor did say that we would have limited exceptions for in-person teaching, learning, and research. And those limited exceptions really are dependent upon what's going on at each campus and each community where that campus resides. So in the case of Chico State, we've been working very hard over the last month to try to determine what limited in-person exceptions to teaching, learning, and research we might have. And it turns out that we're just about completing a list where we will have up to 15% of our courses in person. And 15% of the number of courses that we offer is quite a bit. So there actually will be quite a bit of activity on the Chico State campus next fall. I don't think the City Council was aware of that when they had their conversation this week. And I also don't think they were aware that City Manager Mark Orm and I, we talk every other week and update each other on our planning. One of the things that I am pleased to say is that I am happy to sit down with City Council or do a presentation for City Council as soon as I have the detail on our planning. And I think that will allay a lot of fear and concern with regard to the economy. And I also welcome City Council and the City Manager and his staff to sit down and plan more deliberately with the university. Mark Orm and I, like I said, have been keeping each other informed, and he knew that I would be bringing detail about our fall planning to him next week. And so now I have the opportunity not only to bring it to Mark next week, but to engage again city staff and certainly inform the City Council members. So that said, when the Chancellor, Chancellor White, made his statement back in May 12, it was really with a clear understanding and a realization that much of what's going on in the state of California varies by community to community. There are some communities that are in a great degree of lockdown and other communities not so much. It also aligned quite well with the governor's roadmap for reopening, which places the entire state right now in stage two. And I understand that Butte County was one of the first counties to receive permission from the governor to reopen as described by stage two. So knowing that we are aligned with our fall opening with the requirements of stage two, now that gives us an opportunity to, again, sit down and plan with a little more detail with the city. And that said, I think if the governor were to announce that we were moving into stage three, it certainly would provide Chico State with an option to lessen its restrictions as we move into the fall.
You mentioned that 15% number. How does that translate in terms of the student population? How many students could return to campus?
Well, it's a very good question, and we're still working that out. So if I were to give you back of the envelope estimation, I think what we're talking about is around 500, maybe a little bit more, actual courses with small enrollment numbers being offered. And these limited in-person classes are really associated with that which is indispensable to the university's core mission, but also to a student's progress toward degree. And we also have to make sure that we implement real rigorous standards for safety and welfare as we provide these courses for students. So it would be like nursing clinical. It would be selected labs, let's say, in engineering. It would be selected labs, let's say, in chemistry, biology, and certainly out on the farm. And I'm sure there are other courses listed that I know the Division of Academic Affairs, the chairs, department chairs, and deans are working on, along with the provost. And I think that's important to note. So that's quite a few course sections, and not courses, I should remind myself that it's course sections. 500 is quite a few, and that means there'll be opportunity for hundreds of students to be on the campus. And I will also say that one of our staff persons, Dan Herbert, he talks frequently with property owners in that 1 mile radius around the campus itself. And property owners are feeling relatively confident that several thousand students will be returning to live in Chico, even though the vast majority of their courses will be online in the fall. So we do expect several thousand out of our 16,000 students to be in the area, and certainly we should have hundreds of people on campus in any given day. And with that initial planning, we'll see how restrictions go. If we stay in phase two, we will continue our course. But I certainly want to give the city an opportunity to see more detailed planning than what I'm telling you right now. And I'll have that information next week. And I also want to be mindful that, you know, these are tough times. When we think about COVID-19, we're talking about a novel coronavirus that is deadly, that we don't have a cure for or a vaccine for at this time. And we're working as hard as we can to mitigate or suppress community spread. I think the state of California has done a fantastic job, but I'm mindful that we have to balance that need for community health and preserving community health next to the need for our economy. And I know that these types of restrictions really do impact our local economy. So it's very important then for the city council and the city office and the university to work very closely together.
You mentioned safety. I believe Chico State has received from the chancellor's office models of what waves of infections could come in the summer and fall and even the beginning of next year. Can you lay out what those models tell you about what's going to happen with COVID-19?
So a lot of, there are two principles that we're operating from in the CSU, all of the presidents working closely with the chancellor, and that is safety and science. So the science that we're looking at are, you know, from CDC and also infectious disease experts from around the world. And we are looking at the science, and the science tells us that we really have to be ever-present and diligent, vigilant, actually, in making sure that we suppress community spread. And we have to make sure we implement the use of safety protocol or sanitation protocol. So how are we going to be cleaning touch points at the university? How are we going to offer PPEs to workers? How are we encouraging students, staff, and faculty to wear face coverings everywhere they go? And encourage the practice of good hygiene by washing our hands and using alcohol wipes and swipes wherever possible. So we're putting together a list of all of those things, and also how a communication strategy as to how we'll communicate as well as provide. And that's another thing that we have to think about, is that even as we put a list of in-person class sections that we will be implementing come fall, we also then must apply a lens of health and safety to really examine and make sure that we have what it takes to really provide an environment that is safe and clean and can really help protect people against COVID-19.
Regarding the models from the chancellor's office, is Chico State expecting to see a small surge in the summer, a bigger surge in the fall, and maybe even a small bump in the beginning of next year?
I think, you know, and that's another good question. So what we do know is that, and if, you know, every day I'm checking the Butte County COVID report as to see if there are any spikes in the area. So it's outlined by the six indicators of safety that the governor put out early on in the spring, and also aligns very closely with his roadmap for reopening. That safety has to come first. So when we think about whether we expect a spike here or there, I think what we can expect is that as the state, as people in the state move around, we will see people increases in cases. It's a matter of how quickly or how many and how quickly these cases emerge. And that's where we have to be ready when they do emerge, to make sure that we work with the county on contact tracing, that we have testing and treatments available, so that we can actually surround those who are coming down with it in a way quickly, and get them to self-monitor and self-isolate and take care of themselves and get medical assistance if necessary, so that we can help mitigate, again, the spread. Chico State, we're putting all of those protocols into place. We align very closely with what the county and the city are doing. And then with that, you know, we see what happens. And again, we might see a spike. We might see a spike in Butte County. We might not. When the students come back, those who are will be coming back in the fall, we might see a spike. We might not. As restaurants and retail and others open and people are moving more freely through town and the county and the North State for that matter, we might see increases in cases, we might not. So I think, you know, we need to be mindful of that. And if there is an increase or some sort of spike, we act to reduce that and suppress it as quickly as possible. I do believe, though, based on the predictions of some of the epidemiologists that we are reading about, that when the weather gets colder and people have a tendency to gather and flu season starts up, so this is maybe end of October and November, that we may very well see a spike in the number of cases that we have in California and throughout the country for that matter. And we want to be prepared then too. So
the pandemic has affected the economy greatly across the country. Millions of people are out of work. I'm wondering how the pandemic will affect Chico State. Will staff, faculty, administration take a hit financially in the form of perhaps layoffs, furloughs, or pay cuts?
Yes, and I would say that if you were listening to the governor last week, and I say yes to the financial impact to the state of California, yes, when the governor presented his May revise last week, it became very clear that the state is facing a $54 billion deficit. And a $54 billion deficit, if you read through his May revise and even examined some of what the legislative analysts wrote about, the CSU will take a hit. The monies that were requested as new money to the CSU are for next year are simply off the table. And we do expect to see a reduction in our overall state appropriation. So as the system takes a hit, that actually trickles down to Chico State and to the other campuses. So we do expect to see a reduction in our resources for next year. And what we're engaged in right now is planning how we mitigate that reduction and preserve our high-quality education that we offer our students as they earn a prestigious degree from Chico State. And then we also are working to make sure that we work hard to keep all of our staff and faculty employed and working with us. So we're in the planning stages around that. You know that when the May revise comes out, we're given kind of broad strokes. We won't know impact to the budget probably until July.
It sounds like there's an expectation that there will be a reduction in resources. What could that look like regarding instructors or staff?
So I don't know with regard to employment. First and foremost, we will work really hard to keep everybody employed and going. But I do see that we will have to reduce on spending in different ways. And I'm not ready to talk about what that might be, but, you know, we have a lot that we can do before we think about what happens to our staff and faculty. And we certainly, like I said, we're an academic community. We will work hard to support and keep everybody working to the best of our ability. But we'll find out, you know, come July, if we see a significant reduction in our resources, then we will begin that planning. We're beginning to plan scenarios, but we will begin that planning in July in true diligence and start working with our staff and faculty to figure out our path forward.
Along the same lines regarding enrollment, does Chico State expect to see enrollment continue to decline this fall?
Yes. So right now we were estimating that we would be down a little bit. And so because of that, we pushed our enrollment intend to enroll deadline out to June 1st. And we're pushing the pedal to the metal as we speak, hoping that we can get as many students as possible to enroll in Chico State, because being a Wildcat is where it's at. But yes, I do expect the enrollment to be down. As to how much, I don't know, but I'll know after June 1st.
I'd like to give you the opportunity now to share anything that you'd like to add about Chico State's response to the pandemic or plans, or to clarify anything.
Sure. In terms of Chico State's response, I could not be more proud of our academic community, our faculty, staff, and even our students. have responded extremely well to this COVID-19 pandemic. And what I mean by that is when we received word back in early March that we needed to pivot our entire university into a virtual environment, faculty and staff did it in a matter of days. For us, I think the announcement came out of the Chancellor's office on March 11. March 13, Friday the 13th, was the Friday before spring break. We immediately canceled classes on that day and asked faculty to use it as a work day to begin making that transition of their courses that were in person to online and virtual. Over spring break, our students, the majority of whom left the area, we were able to keep them out of the area and remaining home and hopefully safe. And when faculty returned after spring break, they had two more work days before all courses started up again on March 25th. So the Herculean effort to really take an entire university and have it go virtual, hats off to the staff and faculty and students who made that happen. And in that transition, I want to give a special shout out to our technology folks, because we had a number of students who didn't have laptops or access, and we were able to provide them with laptops and hotspots to help them with their connectivity, as well as our faculty for that matter. And then the faculty and the staff, because they did it. They really made courses exciting, working hard to keep our students engaged, help them complete and finish the academic term. And for that invincible class of 2020, they helped them to the graduation stage where they could engage and complete with a virtual commencement. So that's one. The other message I have is, you know, this is tough. It's tough on everyone. None of us expected a global pandemic. And this is a time where we really have to, you know, find our self's inner strength, that inner fortitude, if you will, that, you know, resilience that we know we have, and also discipline to persevere. And to the students out there, I say this. I know this is not what you wanted. It's a disappointment that we don't have everything in person, but I need you to stay engaged. It's not a time to pause your education. It's not a time to stop out. It's a time to lean in. It's a time to learn how to engage virtually, as well as ways to be safe, because your education is most important, and your education during this global pandemic and an economic downturn is especially important as you prepare earning the skills and knowledge you need to be those solution builders and problem solvers of the solution that California desperately needs as we begin to emerge from this entire situation.